assumption that people who are generous dress the part. What kind of assumptions do we make? You know, it was sort of interesting. I decided about that time that what I would do is a gift box of cards on acts of service. That, you know how they have healing box of cards where you pick a card and it's a sweet thought. This would be on spontaneous inspirations, the kinds of things you think, well, I've got to do something nice today. I'll just pick a card and see what the gods tell me to do. So I thought, what a fun idea. And I sat down one day to write down all the fun, spontaneous acts of service I could come up with. I got up to 9. I mean, I thought, this is all I can come up with. Send a card to a friend. Send another card to another friend. I mean, I ran out, okay? And I thought, oh, man, I am desperate. So you know what I did? I wrote a letter and had it sent out on my the internet to all the people on my site. And I anticipated that I would get 70, maybe 80, maybe 90 letters back. I have thousands of people connected to the site. Within 8 days, over 1,200 letters poured in. Now, these letters are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. I started to read these letters, and it took my breath away. What people have been through, what they've been able to endure themselves and on behalf of others and for others. The capacity that human beings have to be there for each other also made me look at the inability to be there for someone. It became as important for me to investigate why we cannot give as why we can give. Because if you look at generosity, it's a self-explanatory thing. It's why we find it difficult that became more intriguing to me in a certain way than why we find it easy. It's very easy to explain something easy. The challenging part is to take a look at it from the back door, which is, what is this call we have to be of service to each other? What is that all about? Now, I decided at that point that this needed to be a book and not a little box of cards, that it had inspired in me a couple of dozen questions or so that I'd never asked myself that needed to be asked. Now, when I had all these letters, my sister-in-law, Amy, who is a right and left hand to me, took on the task of organizing them for me. And what people do when they tell stories, and you might find yourself doing this yourself, is you will tend to categorize them. You might say, I met this Good Samaritan, or this person was just an angel. But you will find a way to categorize. You do it instinctively. This is an archetypal process. We just gut it that way. We gut script things. So if I looked at these letters, I realized they fell into categories. There are ways people list the wonderful acts of service that people have done for them, as well as what they're inclined to do for others. So I organized them. You know, there are certain people whose acts of service tend to be volunteering at group things. They don't do small volunteer privately. They're public volunteers. Okay, that's one form. As I organized these, what became very, very clear to me is that the spiritual path of service matches our biology, the biology of our chakras, that there are 7 forms of service. Now, if you look at this, if I looked at it, obviously, I mean, the 7th thing with me is everywhere. 7 chakras, 7 sacraments, 7 levels of the tree of life, 777, 7 levels of generosity. Yeah, you can take generosity, you can take anything and sculpt it into 7 perspectives. So from that point of view, that is what I did. But the truth is, this